Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and I'm joined once again by my friend Mike Pasquale. What's up, Mike?
Hey guys.
I want to talk about Summer League and some of the Warriors draftees. And I brought you on because I know you watched a lot of it. I watched some of it, but like, you know, you had some interesting takes by drafting Pods and Jackson Davis. I mean, what were your thoughts on those dudes in general when you watched them play?
I mean, leading up to the draft, I didn't really know much about either of them. I guess starting with Pods, kind of when he got selected, you know, a lot of us were kind of like wondering if we should take Whitmore. But the thing about Pods they were saying is that he was supposed to be, you know, NBA ready, or at least more NBA ready to fit kind of like Steph's timeline. And watching the games, it seems like at least the summer league games, I was a little bit disappointed, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think he has potential, but as far as being NBA ready, kind of willing, ready to contribute day one, I don't think he's quite there yet. I see him kind of in the G League for a little bit. One of the things that I thought when looking at the draft, kind of like scouting, was he was supposed to be, you know, a dead-eye shooter, you know, like a scorer. Watching kind of him actually play in summer league, like he was far from that. He seemed to be more of a playmaker, more of a combo guard, point guard, looking to pass first. I don't know if it was just kind of being a little gun shy, being new or whatnot. Like I said, I didn't really follow him in college, but he looked to be more like pass first. He would be driving to the rim, looking to pass. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did notice too, I kind of heard during the draft too, is that he's left-handed and he's very left-hand dominant. And kind of like keeping an eye on that during summer league. He does tend to kind of go to his left a lot, or at least go to his right and then try to spin back to his left. So he's kind of predictable. So I don't know how that's necessarily going to play out, you know, once he hits like, you know, real NBA competition. Still think he's a good prospect.
I mean, do you think his shot just wasn't going down for this stretch? Or do you think, like, was it something where the defenses were on him faster, or he had to rush his shot, or he just wasn't getting his open looks?
It seemed like, I mean, he wasn't even taking the shot. That was the thing that kind of concerned me. Like, you know, when you hear someone's like a dead-eye shooter, you think they're going to take every shot that they get.
Yeah.
But he's definitely like a semi-hesitant, and then just kind of like saw the open person and would pass it to the open person right away. So yeah, he definitely was making, like, I would say the right basketball play. But for someone that I would think is going to contribute right away, he kind of just seemed like he lacked like that killer instinct of like, I'm going to score the ball.
He just seems like he's going to be a G leader for most of the season. I mean, as guard heavy as the Warriors are right now, and to me, if they need a guy who's like, you know, quote unquote dead eye shooter, Lester Quinones is way more playable than him, and obviously has more experience and just has had a more impressive summer league overall from distance. But do you think Pods is you think he's better than not just to compare, like, you know, white dudes to white dudes, but like just because he was a recent pick, do you think he's better than Nico Mannion was?
Oh yeah, he's better than Nico. I mean, he does have a better shot than Nico.
Okay.
It's just, I think he's not taking it. I think he's just he seems like he just wants to fit in, like that kind of personality, which may be a good thing for this team. He definitely seemed like, one thing I did notice too, or did pick up on, is like watching the games was one thing, but I saw like some video that the Warriors released where he was mic'd up, and he was, I was actually very impressed with how he was able to communicate with the team. He was like telling people to go in the right spot and like kind of doing kind of like the stuff you kind of hear Draymond say, like when he's mic'd up.
Okay.
And that was very inspiring. Yeah. I guess hopeful to me that he at least had that. Like he knew what was going on. I don't think the one thing I think the Warriors don't want is someone like, even if they do want like a straight scorer or like a dead eye shooter, they want someone that can still like flow in the offense and make the right read. And that's something that I was able to pick up on kind of like through those like mic'd up clips. And I think in that sense, I think they got the right guy. I think they got someone that can like work within their offense, can learn it. He's just maybe like a year or two away.
They've had a couple of year or two away guys for a while. But at least now they have, I guess, fewer of them, which brings me to Jackson Davis, Trace Jackson Davis, who, I mean, after the Warriors picked him, I watched a bunch of highlights like every Warriors fan probably did. And I was like, cool, you know, a 2010 guy at Indiana, 4-year player. I don't know. This must be like the fifth or sixth next Draymond that the Warriors have drafted over the years, whether it was like Jordan Bell, Eric Paschal, you know, a Draymond type that never panned out. I mean, I like him, you know, like it sucks that the Warriors had to give up Patrick Baldwin Jr. to get him because I like Baldwin Jr. But to me, it was pretty clear that the Warriors are trying to unload as many of the guys, the young guys from last season, because they just want to get the stink of last season and like reinstate Draymond's leadership by getting rid of, you know what I mean? Like those guys experienced like this down year. So they're trying to just like get off of that completely. Tell me what you thought. I mean, I know he missed most of summer league, but what did you think when you saw him out there?
Yeah. I mean, at least for this next coming season, I'm a lot higher on Trace Jackson Davis than Pods is. I think he's definitely more NBA ready. I mean, like we said, he's 4 years at Indiana. I think he's, what, 23 years old. He's definitely more mature, has more of a, I guess, you know, a manly body, not just like skinny kid from coming out of high school. You kind of made that Draymond comparison, or even like Jordan Bell. I think I see a lot more skill than like a Jordan Bell. He's more than just like a dunker. He definitely, he's able to like pass, make the right. He kind of actually reminds me of David West, like not like a little more athletic David West, but like without kind of that consistent 15 footer. He's definitely, Trace Jackson Davis, definitely not a shooter, at least from the outside. But he's a good finisher around the rim. But what I kind of noticed that reminded me of David West was like his pick and roll game. He would like set a good screen and then get the ball and just kind of like find the right person either at the 3-point line or kind of near the rim. Just kind of like that vision to kind of like see, you know, where the next pass is going to be. That was really impressive. I think that's something that the Warriors haven't had in a long time, like a big man, you know, with the ability to pass. I know a lot of people made a comparison to like Looney. Maybe that's actually a good comparison. I would say he's kind of like a more athletic Looney, like somewhat undersized for a center, but still kind of like, you know, a big that's going to like stay down low. He's good in the dunker spot. I saw a couple alley-oops where, you know, he was able to finish the lob. I think there was one play where it was like a bad kind of like lob pass and he was able to kind of like catch it and still kind of like kick it out to a 3-point shooter. I think he kicked it out to Lester and he like just drained a three. And I was like, whoa, he had like the body control to, you know, catch this pass that was out of his reach. He couldn't finish it, but yet like kind of did a no look like out to the 3-point line. And I was like, oh man, this guy, you know, he's definitely not a black hole. He definitely can shoot. He can really pass. He can shoot. He too is also left-handed. I tried to kind of pay attention if he was kind of like left hand dominant, but he seemed like he was like finishing with both hands, you know, pretty easily. He's not as athletic as you would maybe want, but he's athletic enough.
Did he run the break at all? How's his handle?
I saw like a lot of Indiana highlights where he was like running the break, but he didn't really do that much in summer league. At least not that I noticed.
You know, if he's a cross between Draymond and Looney, like I'll take that. I mean, I saw him out there a little bit and I like his passing. I like his instinct. I think he could play in the flow of the Warriors offense. And whereas like, you know, I always had high hopes for PBJ, but he was always still a project, right? Didn't play much his senior year in high school, didn't play much or well his freshman year. And then last year he just rode the bench. So like that whole time somewhere in Indiana, you know, Jackson Davis was getting playing time and at least Kerr is more likely to play this dude than Baldwin Jr. But the thing to me is I was like, okay, you know, he's 6'9". Maybe he looks like a big 6'9". He looked like a small 6'9" to me out there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think his reach is over 7 foot. I think his wingspan is pretty long, but yeah, height wise, he does look a little small. He's not explosive, at least to NBA standards.
Did you see any kind of a mid range from him?
No, he didn't. He like, David yeah, West. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's David West without the jump shot. like in game, I haven't seen it. I've seen it kind of like in highlights and kind of like practice settings. I've seen his shot, which doesn't look like he has bad form. In Summer League, I think he was just like going straight to the rim type of, he was more of a finisher in Summer League, to be honest.
Right. What did you see from Lester Quiñones, who was signed to a two-way with the hopes of potentially making the roster in training camp? And, you know, what are your thoughts on that dude?
I was impressed. I mean, he kind of like showed it end of last season, at least some of the Summer League, G League games that, you know, I kind of was trying to pay attention to. He's definitely like out of like the G League, kind of like Summer League, level of players, he's on the like upper echelon of that. Like I see him, like he has the confidence when he's playing against those guys where he's just like going up shooting threes. I think a lot of people are making these like poor man to Jordan Poole comparisons, and I see it. I mean, maybe not as much as the passing, but at least the shooting, like he was just like lining it up from three. The games I saw, I think one of the games, I think he was only like 2 for 8 or something, or 2 for 10. But he was shooting it like well beyond the line. He looked like he had confidence. He was shooting over people. He was even going to the rim and finishing. My only hesitation with him is like, a lot of people do it in Summer League. A lot of people do it in the G League, but you know, can you do it against top tier, you know, defense? And that's kind of like where I kind of like hesitant. Like I want to see him prove it in the preseason, you know, against some better competition first. Because he's I believe like 6'4", so not necessarily the biggest guard, but
One thing that I did notice is that he doesn't fall down on every drive. So I'm good with that. So that instantly means he's a better defender because he's actually going to be on the other end, standing on his 2 feet instead of letting the other team go 5-on-4 like our man Jordan Poole did. But what do you see in Quiñones' handle and his ability to get, to the bucket or pass guys? Because that's the thing about Poole. Like, it's funny, everybody talks about he's athletic, but like, he's not that athletic. He's just crafty and he has like his patented moves, which apparently involved carries this past season. Also, people started to figure him out a little. So with Lester, do you see an ability to break guys, get past dudes on the bounce, at least in Summer League and G League stuff?
Yeah, he was able to like kind of get by his man and get to the rim. I think he's going to kind of have the same, actually I even noticed he had some of the same kind of like almost carrying kind of moves that Jordan Poole has. I don't know if he learned that from Jordan. but you know, he wasn't getting called for it, so hopefully he doesn't get called for it, you know, once he starts playing more. But yeah, I think he might have the same problem that Jordan had, which is finishing. He doesn't kind of get up off of the ground, you know, very high. And he's kind of like under the basket kind of finisher.
Those kinds of finishers, man, like that's where the Warriors, I always said they didn't get foul calls because so much of the contact was so much down low. And a lot of times refs let that go. Whereas if you get up higher, and it comes at the hand or at the basket, at the rim, then, you know, you can probably get more calls that way. But when you're just kind of like trying to scoop it past, you know, some big man's arm, it's like all the contact that happened to the legs or the hips. Poole fell down a lot when he didn't have to, but there were times when, of course, he got knocked down, he didn't get the call. It happens to Steph all the time too. Do you see Lester potentially getting that 14th spot?
I mean, with the two-way contract, I think he's definitely at least going to go back and forth up, from sure, the G League. Yeah. I actually am excited for him, though, because what I do think the Warriors need is just kind of like that more youthful kind of hungry energy. And I think he can fit that mold. Kind of like the way their roster is kind of like shaping out, I feel like they still need kind of like one more like go-to scorer, like microwave type off of the bench. And I think he would fit that kind of role pretty well, assuming he can do it against, you know, better comp. But
his shot though,
that's what I kind of the most impressed with. His 3-point shot just looks like he has so much confidence in it right now, where he's just shooting it and it's going in.
Are you a Warriors fan who's also a San Francisco Giants fan like me? Then this message is for you. What will the Giants do with the trade deadline? Can they make a deep postseason run? Could Patrick Bailey be the next Buster Posey? These are the questions that keep Brian Murphy and Doug Bruzzoni awake at night, and twice a week, they voice their thoughts on these matters and more as hosts of Giants Croncast, the San Francisco Giants podcast on Fans First Sports Network. Brian and Doug are bloggers who've been on the Giants beat for a decade, and every Monday and Thursday, they assess the state of the roster, the thinking behind the front office's decisions, and the quality of the farm system. It's a comprehensive look at the orange and black. Giants Croncast, the first, best, and only podcast you'll need about the San Francisco Giants, right here on Fans First Sports Network and available wherever you get your podcasts. So it's early, it's July, it's mid-July. We're far away from anything interesting happening. People are just, you know, trying to make up stories and talk about whatever, but you know, there's a lot that still needs to happen. Training camp, you know, other signings, whatever. But how are you feeling about this team right now? First question is, do you think they're better than last season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're better, but it's always the caveat of health, right? It's like, if you kind of just go like one by one of like who's replacing who, you know, obviously CP3 is replacing Jordan Poole. I think that's an upgrade. At least for what they wanted Jordan to do, which is run the second unit and then provide kind of like some stability off of the bench, which he didn't really do at all last year, which is, you know, probably one of the main reasons they were disappointed in him. But I think CP3 can definitely do a better job there. So I think that's an upgrade, assuming health. Corey Joseph is kind of like what I'm seeing as the... not necessarily one of my players I didn't like, which is Ty Jerome. So I think that's an upgrade.
I think he can.
The reason I feel like Kerr liked Ty Jerome, not necessarily because of his skill, but it was just more the fact that he didn't turn the ball over a lot and he kind of like trust them to not do something stupid. Which I think this is kind of like what they're trying to slot in for like Corey Joseph. So I think that's an upgrade. Pajemski is kind of seeing as like a replacement for Dante DiVincenzo. So I think maybe Dante is, you know, better than Pajemski, at least at this point in his career. So that's going to be a downgrade. Jackson Davis is probably Jermichael Green's replacement. I think he's going to be able to contribute more than Jermichael Green, at least kind of like down low and being able to kind of be in the second unit and, you know, still flowing the offense. And he's not going to be the 3-point shooter Jermichael Green is, but at least as far as rebounding, finishing at the rim, like that extra big off of the bench, I think that's an upgrade.
Saric
is that's probably more of the Jermichael Green replacement, just kind of like camping out at the 3-point line, hitting the open shot. And then you got Jackson Davis is maybe one of those guys. Is either one, Sarge or Davis, is taking like Lamb's role.
Thank God. Yeah.
So I think we went from a lot of young players. I think Steph mentioned it too. Like this team's just a lot more mature.
I definitely think they're better. Again, caveat of health. And I talk about this too, especially like in the West. There's some really veteran laden teams that are dependent on health, like the Lakers, the Warriors, the Suns. And I think whoever like comes out, I mean, can get to the playoffs healthy and with the freshest legs, that they'll have the best chance, you know, like that's what happened in 2022. Right. And of course, like, you know, the Nuggets are young still. And so are the Kings and the Grizzlies. But, you know, I think the Warriors are better, you know, largely because, you know, you look at all the things that were problematic. I think Dunleavy touched on this a little bit, but if you just look at, you know, everybody talks about CP3 and will he fit? And, you know, I've discussed this before. We're like, you know, with Jordan Poole, the Warriors, they were predictable with their second unit because he could plug in and he could do what Steph or what Clay does. So there were never any other looks like Livingston, the David West looks, you know what I mean? So now they have Chris Paul, who can run pick and roll, who can be a little bit more ball dominant and run just a stable offense. So fewer turnovers, better, more stable second unit play, assuming he's going to be, well, he'll definitely be in there with the second unit. Question of whether or not he's going to start is still on the table. And I think that if you look at the core, you know, like Clay, for as much flack as he's caught, he was bad in that Lakers series, but he was really good up until game six of the first round, right? He was playing really well in those first five games. Game six, everybody stunk. Game seven, that was Steph's game, and then Lakers series was just bad. But if you know, like if he's still who he was for the most part last season, same with Steph, you know, Draymond, yes, then cool, you know? And then if you look at the record, I mean, you just have to, you have to toss the road record last season, right? Because, yeah, they're so bad on the road. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, people were theorizing that other teams, yes, they're getting up for the champs. Oh, they were just shooting so much better against the Warriors, you know, home teams. But basically, the Warriors just didn't like each other. They didn't enjoy being around each other. And that mojo, even though, like, the team, the organization was gaslighting everybody, saying, like, no, it's not that. It was that. So you have to scrap that. And unless Draymond punches somebody else or Chris Paul and Draymond don't get along or something, then you have to assume that that road record is going to be like much, much better. And so, you know, I think that they're up there. I mean, I was surprised. I don't know if you saw on The Athletic that some writer ranked them third in the league. I'd have to see it first. They could be, depending on how they, you know, like how those legs are on all those dudes. But now I put them top five, top six, you know, in the whole NBA at this point. And if, to me, like it also, it's health, but also like if Kuminga and Moses Moody, if they break right, you know what I mean? If they actually get playing time, if the best versions of themselves, like the Moody we saw in the playoffs and the Kuminga we saw before Wiggins and Gary Payton came back, the Kuminga that was getting 25 plus minutes a game, then, oh, I think they're good. I think they're better. And I've said this on the group text, like I think they're better already than the 2022 team. Because that team was not a world-beating team. That was like a team that had some good matchups, and Steph played otherworldly in a lot of games, and then Wiggins in some other series. But the unfortunate thing is, like, the rest of the league, the top of the rest of the league is better than 2022, right?
Yep. Yeah. But I think you touched on a couple of things, though, that one, Wiggins missed, like, 2 months last year. Like, if he didn't miss that 2 months, who knows what our record would have been. And then the other thing is the whole Kuminga Moses Moody kind of growth. I think with Chris Paul, he's going to make a really big difference with those two guys. What I was kind of like thinking back on last year, Kuminga kind of really flourished when Wiggins was out because he was playing a lot with the starters. And he kind of like found his little, you know, niche playing with those guys. But when he kind of went back to the bench is kind of when he started to struggle more, because I think he felt like on the bench squad, like, I got to be the dude, kind of like more of that. And then kind of almost also competing with Jordan Poole, who kind of was just like super ball dominant, not really wanting, or not necessarily wanting, but not really focusing on kind of like setting up the rest of the team. So kind of like the way I see Chris Paul, you know, he's the, you know, ultimate point guard, where he's going to be just like sending up his teammates. So he's going to be putting, you know, Kuminga, Moody, just like in a really good position to make the game easy for them, basically. I think that's what they need. They need someone to kind of like make the game easier for them. And kind of like what I was noticing last year, not that even Moody got a lot of playing time, but whenever at least Poole and like Kuminga were on the floor, it almost seemed like a competition of like who's going to outshine who. So like those kind of those things combined, I think, you know, those guys are going to be better. Wiggins, of course, is hopefully going to play more along the, you know, Iron Man 82 games, or at least 70 something that he's kind of been known for throughout his career.
Yeah, and I mean, they get a full season of a hopefully healthy Gary Payton II, you know? I mean, I think that having him only for like a smidgen of the end of the season, and then he wasn't 100%, you know? I don't know if he's just hitting 30 and his athleticism's going, or that core muscle injury hindered his leaping ability and quicks. But, you know, that helps as well. And you're right. Like, I think the on-court chemistry and the facilitation, I don't remember Jordan Poole trying to set up anybody. You know what I mean? Yes, he would pass. Yes, he would drive and kick. But, you know, it's something that I think definitely the young dudes will benefit. Do you think they're better than 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're better than 2022. I would only say one thing that kind of has me worried is the coaching staff this year. We lost like a lot of people on the coaching staff, and kind of like how to find those replacements. I don't think they've mentioned like who's going to replace who, but like losing Mike Brown last year, it was a big hit. And then again, this offseason that we just had now, or having now, I think we lost like two assistants.
And also, you know, they lost Jama, and also that guy Nick Uren.
Yeah,
right. And he went to the was it
WNBA?
Yeah, and he was the one that famously came up with Andrew Bogut guarding Tony Allen. Yeah,
Tony Allen. So,
you know, that was his idea. What grade at this point do you put on the Warriors off season?
I give it a B. I give it a solid B. I mean, nothing too splashy, but they, you know, good. Their team's better, so you can't really say, you know, it's a C. To me, C is you're just kind of as good as you were last year.
Yeah. I've given them a B plus. Once they got Saric, it bumped up to a B plus for me. And you know, I'm looking forward to the season starting.
We didn't talk about Saric that much. I mean, I think a lot of us were kind of on pins and needles, hoping he would sign, kind of got lost in the shuffle because of summer league. But I'm pretty excited for him too. I mean, I didn't really watch him a lot last year, but kind of based on pre-injury, he seems like he's fits the role of kind of what we had in Bellinelli. Or not Bellinelli, Bielitsa.
Yeah, Bellinelli. Bellinelli, who a couple years ago didn't want to sign back with the Warriors. Yeah, I mean, that's huge, right? Like, I think just having a big in general, another big, even though he's not like somebody who's going to pound inside, he's just another big body. And then somebody who can play with Chris Paul, who's played with Chris Paul before, who can shoot from outside, also has health issues, but, you know, can pass and will be good in the Warriors offense, and then also like in pick and roll stuff. So I'm actually really looking forward to this version of the team. And it, you know, the vets got what they wanted. They got a quote unquote more mature team, and they unloaded some of the young guys who were just, you know, projects, not because those kids aren't good, but because circumstances and Kerr made them projects and all that stuff. I'm encouraged. You know, I'm looking forward to training camp, even though that's what, a couple months away. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about for all the rest of time. Yeah.
Everyone's on vacation.
Yeah. Cool, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And love to talk to Warriors. Love to talk any kind of like Bay Area sports. So it's always a pleasure.
All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter @PatrickEPino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.